We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is the Brown Bear Sports Report. Today's show is brought to you by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service for our community since 1851. BSN Sports, Courtyard Marriott Providence Downtown, IBEW Local 99, The Perfect Refreshment, Coca-Cola, Share a Coke this season, and by University Orthopedics. Here's the voice of the Bears, Scott Cordischi.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of our Brown Bears Sports Report. I'm your host, Scott Cordischi. Glad you could join us. The Brown Bears Sports Report comes your way each and every week, wherever you get your podcasts. And our opening segment of the show brought to you each week, as always, by Bay Coast Bank, exclusive banking partner of Brown Athletics and Recreation, proud community bank serving the people and businesses of Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And right now, gives me great pleasure to welcome to the Brown Bears Sports Report this week some members of our men's crew team. And we have with us first, Nate Swidler, a senior from London, England. Nate, how are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. Doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Good to see you again, our Tuesdays 10 superstar. That's what I should call him. Highest rated Tuesdays 10 ever, Nate. Did you know that?
I didn't. My brother probably would, but I did not.
I may or may not be telling the truth on that, but as far as you're concerned, it was the top rated one.
Wow. I consider it an honor.
Also with us, Connor Brown, a senior from Henley on, is it Thames? England?
It is.
Is that how you pronounce it? Not Thames, right?
No, okay. Definitely not.
Ignorant American, that's what it is. So I got it right.
No other type.
Well, Connor, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
And sitting to your left, we have a senior from Pittsburgh, Massachusetts, Jack D. Giovanni. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jack. Thank you for being with us. And to your left, we have a senior from Plymouth, Minnesota, Josh Golbus. Josh, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
Well, guys, thank you all for joining us. Ranked sixth in the country currently in the coaches poll. I guess I'll start with you, Nate. I mean, how has the season gone? I know you guys are just coming off a win here over Dartmouth, but explain to me how the season has gone from your perspective this spring.
I think we keep on building as a team, from race to race. Our program is kind of like notably one of like the toughest programs training-wise. And I think, you know, we're really building speed week on week. We beat Dartmouth for the first time in like 3 years, which is a huge win in the varsity. And you know, the third varsity and the second varsity has continued to really show themselves to be like a really strong force. Indicative of our squad's depth. But I think building from the big Sarasota race, we had a strong showing, yep. But we really wanted to step on from then, and you know. Really, against Northeastern, we were able to take that win back after losing last year, and Dartmouth the same in the varsity race. So I think we're really like building speed with each week, and it's getting more and more exciting as you know the temperatures rise, and you know, so does the pressure. But I think you know the squad is really taking on the challenge, and we're really like looking forward to to what the season has to offer.
So, Connor, Nate talks about the win, the first Varsity 8 win over Dartmouth, and congratulations on that. The Atalanta Cup, you won, correct?
Yeah.
So talk about that for a second, because the race didn't go off till almost 7 o'clock at night. I guess it was like title issues, right? You had to race a lot later in the day than you normally would?
Yeah. So being on the Seekonk, you know, obviously it's title. And so all of our races we try and hit at the slack high tide. BU we had at 6 in the morning or something, and this would have been another heinously early start had we gone in the morning, so we opted for an evening race. And to be honest, I think everyone really enjoyed it. It was lovely to be out, water quiet, wind was pretty low, a little bit of rain, but rainbow came out, and it was a lovely evening, and it was we really, really appreciated all the support from the university and from parents coming down and spending their Saturday evening with us. It was a lovely, I think especially for us four, it was a lovely way to cap off our racing on the Seekonk.
Yeah.
That was our last ever home race, and it was a wonderful way to do it. And yeah, very picturesque and something that we'll all remember for a long time.
Jack, I talked to you the other day at OMAC, and you said, you know, the sun was literally setting as we started the first Varsity race, right?
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was getting kind of, it was getting dark, and I think it was just it was like a portrait out there. You know, Nate was telling me in the boat, he was like, it's like a portrait out here. It's just
a canvas.
A canvas. So, you know, it was beautiful, and like Connor said, I mean, we had flat water. I think it was probably the best conditions we've had in my entire time here in a race, and just a great way to finish it off and just kind of see our time, you know, on this river racing through. Leave it on a high note. So it was great.
Josh, I think, am I correct in saying, have you been battling a little bit of an injury of late or illness, I think?
And yeah.
You're turning the corner, getting healthy again?
Yeah, that's correct. I've had pneumonia for a few weeks, so I was out. So that's been difficult. I was in the coach's launch watching them race Dartmouth, which isn't the boat I wanted to be in, but I was proud of these guys for bringing the cup home. So that was fun to watch.
So Nate talked about, you know, it's a good time to be improving because now as we get toward the end of the season, you know, these races become even more important. I mean, you'll be at Princeton a week from Saturday, and then after that you have the Eastern Sprints up in Worcester, and then you have the IRA championships down in New Jersey, right? So mm-hmm. I would imagine you guys want to be peaking for those races, do you not?
Yeah, exactly. We have Princeton in a week and a half, and then the number one team, and then the two championship races. So our biggest three races are our last three, so glad to be back now. The last races are sad to miss, but the most important ones are still to come.
Jack, you're the coxswain for the first Varsity 8 boat, and congratulations to you. You were named the under-23 U.S. Rowing Athlete of the Year this past fall, were you not?
I was, yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know what goes into that and how many people are eligible for that award, but it sounds like a pretty big deal.
I've been on the under-23 team for the U.S. the last couple summers and was, I guess, voted by the athletes and the coaches to be the Athlete of the Year last year. So super, super honored to get that award, and I think it's, you know, something that I don't want to be thinking about too much. I'm more engaged in the process here and doing the best job I can do. And I think that's an indicator of, you know, I've been able to do some good work, but there's a lot of work to do here, and we're really excited to do that work, you know, every day.
Yeah.
So that's really what I'm focused on.
Nate, you sit in the stroke seat, do you not, for the first Varsity 8? Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's constantly changing for the past three races I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there one seat that you prefer over the other? Are some seats more challenging than others when you're in the boat?
I think for sure each seat in the boat definitely has a different role. I'd say that, you know, 7 seat is my spiritual home. But I, you know, like being in the stroke seat has been like a great challenge. I haven't really been in that seat until, you know, like a few weeks ago, but I've got a lot of face-to-face time with Jack. Who sits, you know, mere inches away. I've sat behind in the sixth seat behind Josh, who's been at stroke, who has great experience in the stroke seat, even, you know, stroking the Varsity last year and for the US with Jack. But I think, you know, like each seat has its own challenges. The stroke seat is kind of like the one where, you know, you can't really like give up anything. I think you have to set the rhythm. You have to be on it because everyone else is following you.
Gotcha.
And if you kind of let up, then it's really hard for everyone else behind you to follow the rhythm that you're meant to be setting. But, you know, like, you know, I've been in most, I think mostly every seat in the boat, but I've loved the opportunity to sit in the stroke seat. It's very fun seat.
So when you talk about setting the rhythm, right, because everybody's following you, everybody's behind you, are you following the rhythm set by Jack's cadence, or, you know, are you the one kind of setting the tempo, and then if he says, we got to pick it up, fellas, then you have to increase that tempo or speed?
Yeah, I think it's the you know, if we're going out like at a certain rate that the coaches want us to go, then I'll set the rhythm for that. And then, like, when Jack says, you know, up a beat or down a beat, that's what I'll go for, the correct ratio between the, like, drive and the recovery up.
Right.
Yeah.
Connor, you have been sitting in seat two, correct, on the first Varsity 8?
Yep. Yeah, the past few races.
I guess the same question to you. Do you have a preference? And tell us what the difference is in terms of where you have been seated, not just in the first Varsity 8 boat, but, you know, any boats that you've raced in while you've been here.
Yeah, so I've generally been in the end pairs, so 7-seat or bow seat normally with a standard rig. Currently in the 2-seat with a starboard rig with Nate stroking. I think Nate's very right in saying the roles are pretty different. You know, we all have the same goal in terms of the blade work, the power we're trying to output, and just we're trying to win a race together. But the way in which we go about it is very different. I'm not communicating really to anyone throughout a race. Nate and Jack are constantly communicating down the course. I have very little say or input in what's happening in terms of the whole boat. But what I do can really help set the boat up. Whether it's making sure, you know, I'm bang on Nate's rhythm, bang on in time, or if I'm, you know, trying to in a debrief, trying to mention a few things that I can see. I have a kind of a good viewpoint of the entire boat up in the bows. So it's, yeah, the different roles are very good at making you aware of the entire, kind of, it gives you a holistic view.
Yeah.
Of the whole process of getting a boat moving. And the switching around, I think, is beneficial in that you understand other people's roles, and then when you're in a different role, you know what someone else is trying to do. And it helps build that kind of trust in, are you doing your job? Are you playing your role? And adjusting between the roles. So I definitely think I'd prefer to be in 7-seat, but I'm aware of the role I'm playing.
Yeah.
You know, 7-seat, I have been in for years and years and years, and now that's not my role currently. So I'm really trying to step up and help the boat progress from 2-seat, whether that's just trying to help set the balance or give a few pointers of, okay, well, I saw this or I felt this. And also, I think you touched upon it, the feeling that I have of the boat. Rowing is very much a feeling sport, and the feeling that I have up in 2-seat is very different to the feeling that Nate has in stroke seat.
Right.
And so it's understanding how they interact and trying to understand what the boat's doing, because we have 9 guys in the boat, but the only important thing is how the shell is moving. That's how you're efficient, and that's your speed. So,
right.
Yeah, it's been really fun, you know, stepping up and trying to play my new role, and I think we're getting there on understanding how the boat's moving and how to be the most efficient and send us down the course.
Jack, I know there's no ambiguity in terms of where you sit in the boat, and maybe this is a question better asked of Coach Cook, but how does he or how do you all determine who sits where? And, you know, to his point, maybe it's a good thing to understand different roles, right? And then, but the flip side of that is, well, don't you want to just maybe fine tune one role and then have that be your, you know, your set lineup, I guess, going into, you know, these bigger and more important races as the season wears on? Do you know how it's determined who sits in what seat?
Well,
and
yeah.
In what boat, for that matter? Is it practice performance? You know.
That's definitely a good question for Paul, but I mean, I think there's a lot of things that they're looking at. I mean, there's obviously the rowing machine. The times on the rowing machine are important. So workouts we do indoors, they'll look at for the guys. But, you know, on the water, in terms of where people are sitting, I mean, it's really about, you know, who can play what role. And so, you know, we've had a few different guys sitting in the stroke seat. We've had different guys sitting in the 5-seat and these different seats. But it's really about, you know, just finding the right combination. And so we'll test a lot of different combinations. We're in a different combination right now than we were in on the weekend, and we'll kind of keep, you know, Paul will keep you know, moving those combinations around to find that right one. But, you know, generally speaking, we've got some guys in the middle of the boat, usually the same 4 or 5 guys in the middle of the boat, same four or five guys kind of switching in and out of the ends of the boat. And so those guys in the middle, a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. Guys on the ends of the boat, a little bit more technical, a little bit more tactical.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone has different strengths, different things that they're working on, and different roles that they play. But, you know, it's really about just finding a good combination that can gel together and giving that combination some time to work together. So,
Josh, yeah. You were an IRCA second team All-American last year. Congratulations mm-hmm. on that.
Thank you.
The last time you raced, am I correct in saying you were in the stroke seat in the 2V8, second varsity 8 boat?
That's correct,
Is
yes.
that correct?
Yep.
So, again, I guess it's fluid, right? You can go from boat to boat and from seat to seat. It all depends upon any given week, any given race.
Yeah. We like to move things around here. Paul keeps us on our toes. There are some teams that kind of set their lineup at the start of the season and just go with that. And then there are some teams that move things around and keep changing people, and we're a team that keeps changing people. And there's pros and cons to that, but that's just the way we do things. And it just means at practice you can really go out and fight for a better seat.
So you have two siblings, correct?
That's correct.
Are either of them rowers?
They're both rowers.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And older, younger?
My brother's older. He rowed at Dartmouth, and my sister's younger. She rowed at George Washington, or okay. She rows at George Washington.
Okay. How about the rest of you? Do you have siblings, Jack?
I got a younger sister. She's not a rower, but she's in college.
Okay.
Same. Younger sister, definitely not a rower.
I have four younger siblings. And my brother.
He's on the team. I know. Asher's on the team.
Yeah, he's certainly on the team.
He's a rower.
He is.
Although, as you pointed out on Tuesday 10, you're a better rower than he is. That's what you said. It's your words, not mine.
Go back on that.
Wasn't the question something I'm better than my brother?
It was a joke. There's always truth to jokes.
I think your brother said he's more punctual than you are, though.
I think he's one of the hardest workers in the boathouse.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the last to leave.
I mean, truth be told, we had to wait for you to start the show here today too. So I guess Asher was correct.
I think I was eating, which is probably not a surprise.
Nothing new.
Just eating snacks, a lot of snacks.
I'm curious how you guys wound up here at Brown. I mean, from England, like you know, when you started to. Think about, okay, where am I going to school? Did you want to go to school, you know, across the pond in the States? Or did you think about going to school closer to home? How'd you wind up here?
So I always wanted to go to the U.S. For the liberal arts experience, because going to university in the U.K. is very much like a one-track degree. You kind of apply for the course and you stick with it. And I was doing all sorts of like extracurricular activities that made my application much stronger. For US colleges. I got recruited to Brown in my gap year. I was very, very fortunate. Kind of applied on a whim, because the coaches said that they wanted to recruit me, and they said that they didn't know if I was gonna get in, but they would do everything that they could. And then I got a call on my birthday from Rufus, actually, saying that it was unofficial, but that it was likely that I would matriculate at Brown. I remember like telling him on the phone that I wanted to give him a hug, but I would have to do that when I met him. And then when I got in, I told my brother to apply. I begged him to apply, and he did. And you know, eventually, you know, got in through the regular decision, which is amazing. You know, like my brother's like you know probably my best friend.
Yep.
And the fact that you know we've been able to go through secondary school and now college together is pretty incredible, and you know then wind up on the same rowing team or same you know, sports team is pretty it's very serendipitous, but it's like you know couldn't have asked for anything else. He definitely makes me a better athlete and a better teammate.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah. Connor, same question to you. And the question about both of you, you and Nate, are you technically like fifth-year seniors? Did you take the year of COVID off? I mean, right? Because you've been here for, well, this would technically be your fifth year because your freshman year was before COVID, was it not? Am I correct in saying that?
Mine wasn't.
Yours wasn't?
Connor actually is my host.
Okay.
On the official visit that I made.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I arrived at Brown in 2019.
Yep.
I think I went through a fairly standard recruiting process.
Yep.
I first started looking at the U.S. as an option, more of a dream really than, that it would be nice to do, but, you know, I'm not gonna get too worked up about it. When I had seen a few of the older guys at my high school, back in the UK, going out to some US universities, And the more I looked into it and the more I saw the opportunities at these kind of institutions, I thought, okay, that is a world-class education. It's a world-class athlete experience, all combined in one with, you know, some really impressive individuals that I get to rub shoulders with and hopefully become friends with. And so that became it became a pretty set decision that I wanted to end up out here for my bachelor degree. And, you know, coming to the end of it, I'm so glad that I did. I can't really list the number of things that I've done on the side of both rowing and an engineering degree. But it is an all-round education I have developed immensely as a human, not just an athlete or an engineer. It's I don't want to put the UK's university system down too much, but I do think the tertiary education in the US and the opportunities that you get here are phenomenal. From the athletic support, you know, the nutrition. We've got a new nutritionist this year who's working around the clock, you know, providing Nate all the snacks he could ever want, as well as, you know, all of the athletics department in terms of the recovery, the rehab, that kind of stuff. It's sometimes I can't quite believe why we're getting this treatment or why we're being provided this opportunity. But then, you know, you come down to the boathouse and you see how much time and how much effort people are putting into this, you know, kind of honing their craft. And you think, okay, maybe it is worth it. You know, if someone can on top of a very, really quite, you know, a challenging academic load,
yep,
commit 20, 30 hours a week to becoming, a world-class athlete, you know, as a number of us have done, represent their countries, it's quite a special environment to be in, and it's one that you know, I'm sad that I'm about to leave, but I'm so grateful for the opportunities that I've had here.
Will you continue to row when you graduate?
I think I need a break. I've been doing this since 11 years old.
Wow.
I've half my life at this point, which is absurd. But yeah, so I'll take a little break off. But you know, Oxbridge have reached out, another phenomenal institution who are very interested in the people that Brown produces, as well as a number of other universities out here. So it's not off the tables, but I definitely need a little break. And then we'll reassess.
And you rode for Great Britain in the 2023 U23 World Championships in Bulgaria, correct?
I did. Yeah, yeah. It was an amazing experience. I also, you know, saw Jack and Josh out there in Bulgaria, which was great fun, and a few of the other guys. It was really good to see a good cohort of the Brown Men's crew team out there representing their countries on the world stage. And having that kind of racing experience and pedigree just around the boathouse is something which really helps push us on. And Paul is always very, very keen for guys to get that experience, racing, competing against the world, which is kind of, and it's also interesting. It's a similar stage to the IRAs. You see a lot of the guys who are representing their countries at the U23s in the boats at the IRAs.
Right.
Which is great to really see the standard of the league and the fact that this is the top league in the world for this sport. The under 23 experience was phenomenal. I really, really enjoyed it. I was in the men's coxed four, so four guys with a cox at the front, which is an interesting boat. It's quite different to the eight, but I enjoyed the challenge and bowman of that boat is at Stanford, the two-man is at Yale, and we've already raced both of them, which has been good fun to see them out in the US, getting back to it. And yeah, it was a phenomenal experience, and I hope that I've brought back some of the things which I learned out there and have hopefully inspired some of the guys here to crack on and go and win a world medal as well.
Jack, your trip to Providence was a lot shorter than these two guys. Pittsford, New York, is that right? Where is Pittsford in New York?
Pittsford is right outside of Rochester, New York, so it's kind of western New York.
I went to Syracuse, so I'm very familiar with the area. I've had a friend from Rochester, been to Buffalo many times, so I know your area very well. How'd you wind up here?
That's a great question. I mean, I was rowing, coxing in high school, and I wanted to do rowing in college, and I started talking to coaches, and you know, I wasn't from a big kind of program that produced athletes that, that went and competed in Division One. So it was kind of an uphill battle, and you know, it really came down to the last minute. But I knew I wanted to go to a really good school that had really good rowing, and you know, I would say I was very lucky to get a spot here, and to come into the program, and that the coaches, you know, especially Paul, you know, kind of put his faith in me and said, okay, we want to bring you in and do this. And you know, it was kind of a perfect combination of great academics, great sports, just yeah. You know, it's everything here is amazing. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, if you get that opportunity, like, you can't really turn it down. Yeah. You know, so it's been amazing.
That's awesome. Josh from the land of, is it 10,000 lakes? Is that what they call Minnesota? Right. How'd you wind up here?
Well, rowing's really not that big in Minnesota, so there aren't too many people that get recruited from there. But thankfully, I had my older brother who had gone through the process. So I was looking at Dartmouth and Brown, and on my official visit, I just really liked the team and the culture here and the coaching staff. So ultimately, I chose here over Dartmouth.
That's awesome. So you're all seniors. What's next in your lives? Do you have jobs lined up, or is grad school? I mean, we can go right down the line. I'll start with you, Josh, since we just ended with you. What's next?
Well, this summer I'm probably going to do the U23 team again, or try to make the U23 team again. So
okay.
I'll start with that. We'll see what happens after that.
Okay.
I am planning on attending University of Cambridge to do a grad year and continue rowing. So I'll be doing grad school.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm also going to be doing grad school. I'm going to be down in Toulouse in the south of France doing an aerospace engineering degree and hopefully wiggling my way into some sort of industry role.
And not rowing, right, Connor?
Not for a year or so. We'll see how long it takes until I just need to get back in the boat. But, you know, I know that they've got a club down there, and, you know, it's not off the cards. But
so
I
you
do
said in the south of France?
In the south of France, yeah.
Near Nice or...?
Further south, so kind of same latitude as Milan. Really, quite south. Lovely area,
gotcha.
Southern France. Try and hop on a bike, get out cycling, and sure that'll be my way back into rowing. Keep the cardio up, that kind of thing. Yeah,
awesome. Nathan, what's up for you?
I would like to work on a political campaign and do some speech writing, and then post November, then work for some, you know, a speech writing firm. And possibly the year off, and then, you know, apply to grad school and maybe do a year at Oxbridge, if possible. But, you know, who knows? It's okay to dream.
Okay, back around the horn again. What are you guys going to miss most about Brown, the Brown experience? It can be rowing. It can be something completely outside of rowing. What are you going to miss most about your Brown experience?
To single out one thing, I mean, I suppose it would be the people. That's like a classic answer, but I really think, you know, both the people like in and out of the squad, and the ability to see those people, to see your favorite people every day, to work hard with those people, to suffer with those people, to enjoy life with those people. And I think like that's something that I definitely don't take for granted. I know that college is a bit of a utopia. I know that, you know, when we go to work, we spend a lot of our lives working, and we don't have that autonomy that we do during school. And I think, you know, really making the most of every minute we have here, you know, in class, on the water, chilling on the main green, eating at the rally, like all those things. I think like just being able to spend really like high quality time with high quality people just constantly. Is something that is like so amazing about Brown and something I'll definitely miss.
Connor, what will you miss most?
I think I'm going to miss the lifestyle balance that I've managed to create. I think Brown has a very unique belief, you know, the kind of work hard, play hard. A lot of people see the play hard from outside the university, but there is a huge amount of hard work going in, whether it's in class, it's on your own in the library, and just being around so many people who are not taking life for granted and just actually soaking it up and enjoying it. I'm going to really try and bring that kind of mindset with me as I go forward to wherever I go.
Jack?
Yeah, I think my time here has been pretty defined by being part of the rowing program, and I think that'll be a big thing that I miss, of just kind of coming in every day and doing the work that we do with amazing people. I mean, I say this a lot, but just being surrounded by people that work really, really hard every single day is really inspiring. And I think that's something that I think I will get an iteration of that in the future, but I don't think I will have anything quite as special as just the grit, the energy, the culture, the intensity, the excitement, the hard work that our people on this team bring. I don't think I'll see anything like it ever again. So I'm just trying to soak it up.
Josh, what will you miss most?
Definitely my teammates, like being able to work really hard every day with a group of people that like I really care about, all for like one common goal, is really something special. And most people probably won't get that after this at all.
So can I add in on those points?
Yeah,
I think Nate mentioned earlier about the fact that Brown's training program is supposedly one of the hardest in the country, and to all three of their points, I think doing something hard with a group of people really brings you much, much closer than you could ever be.
Yep.
And the stuff that we put ourselves through brings us closer than I think most people will understand until they're not doing it. If you go into a work environment, you're never bonded through essentially the sacrifice and the hard work that you would ever get out here. And so I think that's that kind of triggered a memory for me. I am going to miss that kind of, the 6 a.m. starts, the suffering together.
Is
that kind of bizarre thing that I think, I was very, very connected emotionally, spiritually, physically to these guys. I think that's something that we'll all start to realize was a big part of our lives.
Life's going to take you, Jack, and you guys are going to go in many different paths, right? You're going to get jobs in different areas of the world. You're going to meet new friends. But the bonds that you have created, with your class in particular and with this team in general, I mean, those will last a lifetime. Do you anticipate keeping in touch with these guys, coming back to campus for campus dance, 5th, 10-year reunion, whatever that number might be? Or do you think once it's over, we're going to be so busy in our own lives, it's going to be hard to do that?
I think I think we're going to reunite. I think this class has really come together, and Connor and I took gap years and we're part of an earlier class, and a bunch of us added into this 2024 class. And I just think this year, especially, this class has just come together in such a major way. And it's been so special to see all of us just really come together as one unit. And my hope and my intention is that we'll keep in touch, and I'm already thinking about alumni rows at Head of the Charles, different things getting us going after we graduate. I'm kind of an organizer, so I'll be facilitating a little bit of that, but I think I'm going to stay in touch with people. I'm excited.
Whether they like it or not.
Well, guys, congratulations on terrific careers, in the classroom, on the CCONC. You've represented yourself, your family so well. Thank you for joining us on the show, and most importantly, good luck against Princeton at Eastern Sprints and at the IRAs.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks,
Scott. Appreciate it much.
All right, appreciate our Brown Men's Crew program joining us on the first segment of the Brown Bears Sports Report. When we come back, we'll be joined by some members of our Women's Crew team, and we continue right after this.
And we're back with the action. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. With an irresistible taste and zero sugar, Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any sports fan. So make sure you... Wait, Jim, I didn't mean try it right now. We're still on the air.
Best Coke ever? Take a taste, Jen.
Really?
No, not right now, Jen. We got a game to call.
As an athlete or fan, you need to keep your mind and body in the game. With over 90 board-certified radiologists with broad-based experience and subspecialty training, Rhode Island Medical Imaging will deliver the most accurate diagnosis possible. If you need an X-ray, MRI, CAT scan, or another imaging exam, ask for Remy. As the first and only outpatient diagnostic imaging center of excellence in Rhode Island, Remy will provide you with the highest quality of care. To find one of Remy's 16 state-of-the-art locations nearest you, visit RIMIRAD.com.
Keeping Brown University's 34 varsity teams healthy and in the game is no easy task. That's why the Brown Bears have had the doctors at University Orthopedics as their official orthopedic providers for more than 30 years. With 60 orthopedic surgeons, sports medicine, and musculoskeletal experts, University Orthopedics provide the area's most comprehensive orthopedic care. You don't have to travel far. With 12 offices across Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts, the best orthopedic care anywhere is right here. University Orthopedics.
At New England Institute of Technology, we prepare our students for the careers of today and tomorrow. We don't have boring lecture halls. We have real-world simulation labs with the same leading-edge technologies you'll use in your chosen field. And with 50-plus majors, from IT to automotive to video game design and more, New England Tech has a program you can get excited about. Financial aid, transfer options, and merit scholarships are available. Visit NEIT.edu to schedule a visit and learn more.
Keeping Brown University's 34 varsity teams healthy and in the game is no easy task. That's why the Brown Bears have had the doctors at University Orthopedics as their official orthopedic providers for more than 30 years. With 60 orthopedic surgeons, sports medicine, and musculoskeletal experts, University Orthopedics provide the area's most comprehensive orthopedic care. You don't have to travel far. With 12 offices across Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts, the best orthopedic care anywhere is right here. University Orthopedics.
Welcome back to the Brown Bears Sports Report. I'm your host, Scott Cardishi. Glad you could join us. This portion of the program brought to you by Elite Physical Therapy, the premier choice for physical therapy in Rhode Island. Elite Physical Therapy is staffed by a team of highly trained and talented physical therapists who specialize in treating back and neck pain, sports injuries, and surgical rehabilitation. It is your choice where to go. And as I mentioned, joining us on the podcast now, we have some members of our women's crew program. First of all, we have, in her fourth season as an assistant coach and a former Brown rower herself from the class of 2013, assistant coach Tessa Gabo is with us. Tessa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Well, thank you for joining us. And we have three of your student athletes with us. First of all, to my left here, we have a sophomore from San Carlos, California, Tessa Tompkinson. Tessa, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being with us. To your left, we have Hannah Hickson, a sophomore from Marlow, England. Hannah, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining us. And to your left, we have a sophomore from Noonan, Georgia, Mary Claire Warren. Mary, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having us.
Do you go by Mary Claire or MC?
Up to you.
Whatever you want.
Yep.
Okay. I have to ask you this question first. When I saw Noonan, Georgia, the first person I thought about because I broadcast our baseball games is Jack Seppings. Did you know Jack at all? He is a junior pitcher on our baseball team, and he's also from Noonan, Georgia.
Really?
I don't see that too often, Noonan, Georgia. When I saw Noonan, Georgia, I said, okay, I'm going to ask her if she knows Jack. You don't?
Him, no.
Okay. All right. Just didn't know. Just wanted to throw that out there.
I'll look out for him.
So, Tessa, let me start with you. The team is currently ranked fifth in the Pocock CRCA coaches poll, correct?
We might be seventh now. They come out every Wednesday.
We're fifth.
Oh, did it just come out?
Are we fifth?
Still fifth? Okay.
No, I can check.
All right. And so just tell us a little bit. Last week, wow, at the Big Ten Invitational, 12 wins and 12 races. I saw Murph earlier today, so it's a matter. You couldn't win 13 races and 12. I mean, that's a pretty good performance by the team, I'd say.
They had a very successful weekend. I think they stayed really focused. They took a good shot at every race they had, and at regattas like those, the big ones, Ivy Champs, Eastern, Big Ten Invite, Ivy Invite, NCAAs, knock on wood, we'll get there. You have to perform each race, and they did a really good job performing each race, and I think, you know, they set us up to get a lot more good work done this spring.
I mean, as you know, the races get more important as we start to head toward the latter stage of the season. MC, just talk about the team's performance last weekend down in Sarasota. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was great. I think it was a lot of really good racing experience. A lot of the teams that we saw down there we'll hopefully get to see again if we get a bid for NCAAs or if we qualify for NCAAs through the Ivy Championships. But yeah, I think it was really great. A lot of really gritty racing and a lot of like opportunity to race teams outside of our conference. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So Hannah, last year you rode in the second varsity eight. Well, correct. This year, were you in the stroke seat this past weekend in the first varsity eight boat?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, obviously the boat performed well. Tell us, from your perspective, how that race went.
Yeah, it was some really fun racing. I think the boat, like, came together more and more over the three races. And, yeah, it went well, and we improved on different things in each race. And, yeah, it was good fun.
A pretty good performance by the team, too, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it's rare that you go into an event and you win all 12 races, right? That doesn't happen very often. Tessa, I want to move over to you. So, second varsity eight and then A4 last year, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And are you the number three seat in the second varsity eight this year?
Yes.
Is that your role?
Yeah.
Okay. I always, like, wonder, like, do you have a preference in terms of fours, eights, seats in the boat. I mean, is there one that you find more enjoyable than the other?
I think in terms of my favorite boat class, I would have to say fours. Yeah. I just think they're really fun. I had a good time in my four last year, so that's always been my favorite. But I move around quite a bit in the eight, but this weekend in 3C was fun because you kind of get to see, you know, everything that's going on in front of you, but you don't have, I guess, like being in bow pair, you're always taking strokes, having to top the boat, so you got to get to be nice in the middle there.
So we talk about last week's performance in the Big Ten Invitational. So you have Cornell, is it this Saturday, up in Ithaca, and then the Eastern Sprints, and then the Ivy Championships, and then hopefully the NCAAs. So things kind of ramping up to that. I keep pointing back to last week, but do you feel like maybe as a team that you guys are improving or peaking or getting better at the right time of the year?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think as a boat, we had a good feeling at the end of the week that each race we definitely improved. And like coming out of the first two races on Friday, we had kind of things that we talked about, like, oh, this could have gone better, a middle move, something like that. And our last race was sort of like the culmination of all of that. And it really felt like we improved just over 2 days of racing. So that's really promising for moving forward to races in the future.
Tessa, you rode for the Murphys. You won a national championship here. You won an Olympic gold medal. But you've seen the success of this program from all different angles as a rower, as a student athlete, and now as an assistant coach for the past four seasons. And I guess the question that a lot of people have is there something in the, I guess, secret sauce that the Murphys have to build such a strong program that is perennially strong year in and year out, competing for national championships? Is it, do they just have a way of identifying certain student athletes and the type of person they want in the program? Is it something in the way they coach the team? Like, what is the secret, or what are the secrets in your mind to the success of this program under John and Phoebe?
Gosh, that is a question. So I think, you know, I wish I could answer that. There, you know, everybody's always looking for the secrets in rowing. And you know what? It's always going to come down to hard work. It's always going to come down to what you put in is what you get out, which is such a nice part of this sport. And I think the women on this team are mature, and I think they are focused on the goal, and the Murphys have a really good job of keeping them focused on that goal. And hopefully, you know, we really are sort of lining ourselves up to keep stepping towards that goal. But it's like everything in life. It's one step at a time, and you've got to make sure that every step you take is on, is hard, is moving towards that goal. So, gosh, I wish I knew what the secret was. But I think, you know, that they work hard and they keep their eye on the prize. So
MC, you know, in addition to the Murphys, I mean, you row for a pretty successful rower herself. I mean, you see the picture right there with the Olympic gold medal on the wall here in the office that we're recording the podcast in. But I mean, what have you been able to learn from Tessa? And you know, is it inspiring to have somebody like that as one of your coaches?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of us definitely look at Tessa as a role model because she's kind of gone through what we're going through right now.
Yep.
Just the Murphys have been here for so long and have been so successful with kind of the same training plan for the past 40 years. So, yeah, I'd say it's definitely like nice to have someone to look up to know that like she's gone through what we're going through and she's had a career of success. Yeah.
Hannah, you're from Marlow, England. How'd you wind up here at Brown?
good question.
Did you always want to go to school like overseas, or were you thinking about just going to school back home, or were you recruited to Brown? Like how did you wind up here? Like what made Brown the right spot for you?
I'd seen like other people in like the years above me go to America, and I was like, oh wow, that's pretty cool. So I like started looking around all the like unis and stuff, and I think I emailed Tessa and started talking on Zoom and stuff, and then I was just really excited about it, and yeah.
It was really fun with Hannah, because during COVID she was unable to visit.
Yeah.
So you had to take this huge leap of faith and come to Brown having not seen the campus. So of course there's lots of Zoom, they're Zooming with athletes, they're Zooming with coaches, but it was really fun because Hannah's year correlated with our group going to Henley. So it became, I think, a little more tangible, right? When we were all there at Henley and you got, and she came to like a couple Brown dinners and got to meet people from the team. And it felt real for both myself as the coach that's trying to get you here safe and sound and happy, but also seeing you connect with the team and your parents sort of being like, you're not going into the abyss across the ocean. So that was an exciting part of that trip as well. When the team went to Henley, was Hannah getting to know everybody that most students do on official visits throughout time.
That's actually a good stroke of luck. You're right, with COVID, to be able to have that opportunity. Tessa, same question to you. You're from San Carlos, California. Did you want to come to school on the East Coast, or, you know, take us through, I guess, the recruiting process and or how you wound up here?
Yeah, I think I definitely was always looking at kind of schools on the East Coast. California is lovely and I definitely miss it when I'm here in the winter, but in high school I sort of was excited about, you know, seeing the other side of the country, experiencing the seasons, all of that. And at my high school program, there were two girls above me who came and rode at Brown, so it was kind of on my radar because of that. And then I started talking to Tessa my sophomore summer, I guess it would have been, or junior year.
Yep.
And I took a visit here my senior year. And I just instantly knew it was a place for me. I texted my parents and I was like, can I please commit while I'm here? Because I was so excited.
It's funny you say that. I hear that from a lot of student athletes. Like when they visit campus and they meet their teammates or their future teammates and they see the campus, they just kind of fall in love with it. So that obviously was the case for you as well. MC, how'd you wind up here from Georgia?
Yeah. Well, there's not really a whole lot of schools in the South with rowing.
Right.
There's a girl who was in the class of 2022 who was rowed for the same junior program as me, which is like similar to Tessa, kind of put Brown on my radar. And then I just corresponded with Tessa and came on an official and I was sold. The same thing, texted my parents. I was like, I want to go here. I can't imagine myself anywhere else.
So Hannah, I see in your bio, field hockey, cross country, equestrian, and netball were other sports you enjoyed in high school. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What is netball, by the way? Pardon my ignorance.
It's kind of similar to basketball, I guess, except you can't move between. Like, when you have the ball, you, like, can't move your feet.
Okay. So you have to pass it. You can't dribble it or anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So has rowing always been your top sport or the sport you're best at?
I didn't start until I was about 15 or 16, and I actually remember really not liking it at first, but me and my friends were all doing it, and, like, then after a while, I kind of got into it a lot more, and I was like, actually, this is kind of fun.
Yeah,
it took a while.
I can see it taking somebody, a newcomer, a while to warm up to, because it's grueling. I mean, it's not easy what you do in, you know, early mornings or afternoons in the Seekonk, and believe me, I know the amount of commitment it takes, you know, for all of you. MC and Tessa, I was looking at your bios, and you share something in common, and that is your apparently affinity for Taylor Swift. I've seen a lot of bios. I haven't seen that on many, and I'm like, wow, two of the guests on the show this week like Taylor Swift.
I forgot we put that on there.
All right, so what's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
I think my favorite song is August.
August, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many to choose from. I'd say Dear John is definitely up there.
And by the way, you also had similar things as well. Not just your affinity for Taylor Swift, but you enjoy sewing and you enjoy crochet too.
Yeah.
So yeah. I like reading these bios to see, you know, kind of what your interests are. So your sister, MC, is a rower?
No.
No? No. Oh, you have a sister.
I do have a sister.
Okay, but
yeah.
Not a rower.
No, she's not an athlete.
Is she an athlete?
No.
No? Okay. Siblings?
Yeah, I have a sister. She runs track and cross country.
Okay.
Yeah.
Older or younger?
Older.
Okay. She in college or?
Yeah, she's a senior at Duke right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have a brother. He's 14 and he's actually just started rowing, but he's also very into rugby.
Yeah.
So
Tessa, we at Cornell Saturday and mm-hmm. then Eastern Sprints and then the Ivy Championships.
Yep. A lot
correct?
Of weekends ahead of us.
So, yeah. I mean, how would you say, do you like where the team is, I guess, right now as you head toward the latter stages of the season?
I mean, they're always great people and fun people to work with. So I think that's, you know, something that we always have that's exciting to coach. it's hard to say where it's going to go. I think, you know, the ball is in their court, and I'm excited to sort of see these next couple races. And again, like, they're always a pleasure to coach and race on the Seekonk, race in the Erg Room, race at Cornell, and anywhere we go, they always have a good time. So
what, you'll leave Friday, I assume, for Cornell, and then the race is Saturday morning. Be back like Saturday night.
Yeah.
Nobody loves the ride to Ithaca, New York. It's not the greatest. Although there's no traffic, so it's not a bad thing.
There's no traffic, and it's always fun to hear the bus chatter.
It is?
I learn a lot, yeah.
Okay, so they're not sleeping on the bus.
There's some sleeping, some studying, some Taylor Swift talk.
Some crocheting.
So reading week's coming up and then exams. Are you all ready for that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Ready as you can be.
I mean, I always ask this question, too, and the three of you are sophomores, so you're still, I guess, relatively new to college. The whole time management piece of it, like, you're a freshman in college, and you're at a tough academic institution like Brown University in the Ivy League, and then on top of that, you're a rower, which is quite a commitment, you know, 20, 30 hours a week. And then, you know, there's your social life and, you know, everything else. Managing your time, was it difficult or easy to do? As a freshman, like when you arrived here last year, or did you have to learn how to do it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of an adjustment. I think the upperclassmen on the team do a really good job with the freshmen coming in, sort of acting as mentors. And like, also the team's huge. So most of the classes that you'll have your freshman year, it's almost guaranteed that you'll have someone else on the team in your class. So we'll be able to, like, do problem sets together and study together.
Yeah.
And I think the team does a really good job of, like, fostering a good hard, like, work ethic when it comes to school.
And advice maybe from the upperclassmen, what classes to take, or if you're share a concentration, you know, I can help you, you know, with this if you're confused, that type of thing. Is there that type of mentorship?
Yeah, definitely. The upperclassmen definitely give a lot of good guidance as a freshman. Helped a lot.
What's your favorite thing about Brown?
Gosh, I think in terms of academics, probably knowing that I have the freedom to take virtually any class I want is really exciting.
You like the open curriculum?
Yeah, I really do.
Have you what's the most interesting course you've taken, whether it be in or outside of your concentration?
Probably in my concentration would be environmental policy, but outside I took a Roman art and architecture class, which is completely different than what I'm doing. I'm studying environmental science, but it was really fun, and I was super glad that I got to take that.
So you all just had to declare your concentrations recently, right, because you're sophomores? What's your concentration? What did you declare?
This has been the Brown Bear Sports Report.
Biology.
Okay. And does that when biology, I think, I always think, like, med school. What do you know what you want to do in the future?
Not really yet. So I just kind of decided on the two things that I, like, enjoy, and then hopefully we'll go from there.
What's been the most interesting class you've taken so far?
Probably I enjoyed the environmental science class Tessa and I took last semester that Tessa's TAing now.
Congratulations.
And probably ATMA 350 with MC. It's really fun.
Yeah.
I like the lecturer a lot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what about you? What's your concentration? What did you declare?
I'm also applied math biology.
Okay.
Yep.
And any classes that you've enjoyed your first year and a half, 2 years here?
Yeah, I'd say outside of my concentration, last semester I took a class called Fairy Tales and Culture. So that was pretty interesting. It was a lot of fun. And then in my concentration, probably biology of hearing. There was a bunch of people on the team who took that class. Yeah. So
what's it like for rowers in that you have fallen spring seasons, right? So it's, you know, where a lot of sports are one season, and then, you know, you work out and you practice during the off season, but it's a little different because you have two seasons, fall and spring. First of all, when is your downtime? Is it in the winter months, obviously? Like, when are you I know you're always in the weight room and you're on the rowing machines and that stuff, but, like, when would be technically your downtime?
Truthfully, probably the summer. The winter is, like, I guess technically what you would say our off season is in terms of the hours that we have coached. But I think most people on the team would agree that the winter is a pretty tough time because we're not allowed to go out on the water because it's, well, it's not possible because it's so cold.
Right.
So we spend a lot of time indoors on the erg, which is definitely mentally and physically pretty challenging. But I think like the spring definitely heats up in terms of travel time and the amount of time that we have practicing. So maybe this, yeah, I guess the summer is like the truthful answer for that.
That's right. That's your downtime, you would say. Like winter break. What do you winter break when you're back home? I mean, you're working out to stay in shape for the spring season, I assume, right?
Yeah, we have a training trip to Florida before we start the spring semester.
And when
so
is
it's
that
definitely
normally?
Important to be in shape for that. Gosh, it's early January.
Yeah.
So before break ends.
Yeah, it's
you're
like the
10
days before break ends.
Right.
Yeah.
Any summer plans for the three of you? Do you have summer jobs lined up? Are you going back home, somewhere else, staying here? What are your summer plans, MC? I'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll be here in Providence. I'm working in a lab with bats. Yeah, pretty exciting.
Oh, congratulations. Is that like kind of related to your major?
Yeah, so it's related to like neuroscience. So we're going to be like working with bats to look into like perceiving auditory motion, since bats use echolocation.
Yeah.
Sort of just.
Oh, that's really cool. How did you wind up with it? If you don't mind my asking, you don't have to share, but how did you wind up with that job?
Yeah.
It sounds really interesting.
So there's a girl on the team who's graduating this spring who works in that lab right now. And so she kind of would like tell me all the different things that she got to do with bats. I was like, wow, that sounds so interesting. So I applied. Yeah.
Nice. Hannah, will you be going home to England or?
Yeah, I'm going back home and I'm doing a research internship with a professor at Oxford University on the evolution of mitochondria.
Wow.
And stuff.
Congratulations. How did that come about?
So I think I was very lucky because I just emailed the professor and he was keen. So
wow. That's great. Do you miss home, by the way, being here?
Yeah, it was sometimes. I did a lot more last year, but now that I'm in the groove of it and like how I'm busy and doing a lot of things, that I'm like very happy out here.
Tessa, what are your summer plans?
I'm going abroad. I'm going to Stockholm, Sweden. Oh,
my brother and his family live in Sweden.
Oh, really?
I've been to Stockholm many times. I love it over there, especially in the summer. Have you been there before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I love it. It's awesome. You'll enjoy it. Yeah, so tell us what you're going to be doing in Stockholm.
I'm working for a sustainable battery startup company. They make zinc ion battery technology. So I'm going to be doing some marketing for them as an intern.
Oh, that's great. I think you'll enjoy it a lot.
I'm really excited.
Go to the Vasa, the Viking Museum. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite things, but it's a great country.
Yeah, that's on my list.
The people are very
sure.
friendly over there, too. Like, they are so nice. So you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to all of you this weekend at Ithaca and for the remainder of the season. And thank you all for joining us on the Brown Bear Sports Report. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
My thanks to MC Warren, Tessa Tompkinson, Hannah Hickson, and Tessa Gabo from our Women's Crew program for joining us. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll let you know what's happening athletics-wise on College Hill this weekend. Back with more of the Brown Bear Sports Report right after this.
Keeping Brown University's 34 varsity teams healthy and in the game is no easy task. That's why the Brown Bears have had the doctors at University Orthopedics as their official orthopedic providers for more than 30 years. With 60 orthopedic surgeons, sports medicine, and musculoskeletal experts, University Orthopedics provide the area's most comprehensive orthopedic care. You don't have to travel far. With 12 offices across Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts, the best orthopedic care anywhere is right here. University Orthopedics. Keeping Brown University's 34 varsity teams healthy and in the game is no easy task. That's why the Brown Bears have had the doctors at University Orthopedics as their official orthopedic providers for more than 30 years. With 60 orthopedic surgeons, sports medicine, and musculoskeletal experts, University Orthopedics provide the area's most comprehensive orthopedic care. You don't have to travel far. With 12 offices across Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts, the best orthopedic care anywhere is right here. University Orthopedics.
We're back with the action. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. With an irresistible taste and zero sugar, Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any sports fan. So make sure you... Wait, Jim, I didn't mean try it right now. We're still on the air.
Best Coke ever? Take a taste, Jen.
Really?
No, not right now, Jen. We got a game to call.
Mind and body in the game. With over 90 board-certified radiologists with broad-based experience and subspecialty training, Rhode Island Medical Imaging will deliver the most accurate diagnosis possible. If you need an X-ray, MRI, CAT scan, or another imaging exam, ask for Remy. As the first and only outpatient diagnostic imaging center of excellence in Rhode Island, Remy will provide you with the highest quality of care. To find one of Remy's 16 state-of-the-art locations nearest you, visit RIMIRAD.com.
At New England Institute of Technology, we prepare our students for the careers of today and tomorrow. We don't have boring lecture halls. We have real-world simulation labs with the same leading-edge technologies you'll use in your chosen field. And with 50-plus majors, from IT to automotive to video game design and more, New England Tech has a program you can get excited about. Financial aid, transfer options, and merit scholarships are available. Visit neit.edu to schedule a visit and learn more.
And welcome back to our final segment of the Brown Bears Sports Report. It is brought to you by Dave and Buster's. My name is Scott Cordishi. What's coming up this weekend in terms of home athletic events at Brown University? Well, here you go. On Saturday, our women's lacrosse team will have Senior Day, honoring the senior members of this year's team, and they will host the Big Red of Cornell at 1 o'clock at the Center for Lacrosse and Soccer. That also happens to be Faculty and Staff Day, so if you are a member of the faculty or staff at Brown University, you can claim up to 2 free tickets to that game. Men's tennis will also host Yale at 1 o'clock on Saturday at the Pizzatola Sports Center. Also, a big game, and I know this isn't on campus, but our men's lacrosse team is going to be visiting Harvard at 3:30 on Saturday. And the important thing about that game is this: they will know going into that contest if they have a chance to make the Ivy tournament. Princeton will visit Yale at noontime. If the Bulldogs beat the Tigers, the Bears will have a chance to make it to the Ivy tournament. All they'd need to do is beat the Crimson up in Boston. So again, Brown fans should be rooting for Yale to beat Princeton in men's lacrosse at noontime on Saturday. If that happens, a Bears victory over the Crimson at Harvard would put them in the Ivy League tournament. And back on campus on Sunday, our men's and women's track and field teams will host the Brown Springtime Invitational. That'll take place at Brown Stadium beginning at 10 a.m. And that'll do it for this edition of the Brown Bears Sports Report. My thanks to Connor Brown, Nate Swidler, Jack DiGiovanni, and Josh Golbus from our men's crew program. Thanks to Tessa Gabo, MC Warren, Tessa Tompkinson, and Hannah Hickson from our women's crew program. My name is Scott Cordishi. Have a great week, everybody.
This has been the Brown Bear Sports Report. Today's show is brought to you by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service for our community since 1851. BSN Sports, Courtyard Marriott Providence Downtown, IBEW Local 99, The Perfect Refreshment, Coca-Cola, share a Coke this season, and by University Orthopedics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Brown Bears Sports Network.